Everyone, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Psalms, the 37th chapter and 4th verse, and it reads, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the third story taken from the 4th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, entitled Healing with a Purpose. The title of the podcast today is Meeting an Idol. Before we get to our story for today, I'd like to encourage you to take every opportunity to read something that is enjoyable. The opportunity certainly exists during this time of public isolation. At the time of the airing of this program, we are in the midst of the most widespread pandemic in my lifetime, and possibly may end up being the most severe health crisis in our nation's history, and in the world for that matter. But we can salvage something from such a calamity as the coronavirus pandemic, and that involves such things as spending more time with family, doing productive things around the house, and reading literature to our liking. Personally, I think a good book is something that can fill a void created by this pandemic. So, we can use the time we have with an activity that is both enjoyable and can be beneficial in some way. And reading a book is one of the things that I would recommend. Certainly, I hope these podcasts have been beneficial to you, either by hearing the suggestions of how you can write your own book, or just by listening to the stories that may give you some level of enjoyment. As you know, we've been participating in a book challenge on this program for almost 1 year now, and I've given ideas as to how you can go through the process of writing a book. Some of you are participating in the challenge, but even if you haven't started writing your book, this is a perfect time to start. You know, a lot of time has been forced on many of us due to this pandemic. You can see it as an opportunity, however, an opportunity to write a book. But even at the end of this challenge, which happens to be June of this year, your writing efforts can continue well beyond this time. As I mentioned in a previous podcast, one way to propel you into action in writing your book is to formulate deadlines. Knowing that you can give yourself a certain time period to write a certain amount of material makes it more likely that you will accomplish your goal. Before we start our story for this week, I'd like to give you a sure way of making your dream of writing a book become a reality. During these series of podcasts, I've given you ideas put forward by professionals who are in the business of providing specific steps you can take that, if implemented, can contribute greatly to your successfully writing a book. Well, today, I'd like to give you my own ideas of how you can accomplish this goal. In my estimation, it's a sure way of succeeding in writing that book that you've always wanted to write. And it involves what I call the 3 W's of writing success. The first W is to want to write. And that is having a desire to write the book that you've always wanted to complete. Now, you might say, I don't know what I want to write about. Well, that involves the second W I want to tell you about, and that is having to identify what to write. What I'm talking about here is to identify something that you're really interested in and make a decision to write about it. And I've heard it put another way, and that is, what you're most interested in is your passion. So if you're passionate about a certain topic, then it would become easy to write about it. Now, this brings us to the third W, and that is having a will to write. This means that you will commit to write. That is, to develop your manuscript every day. It will be like going to work. All of you know you have to work because you want to be compensated for your efforts. Well, the same thing is true for writing. By writing every day, ultimately you will be compensated for your efforts in the form of a completed book. Do you remember the expression, just do it? Well, yes, this third W involves doing, taking action in writing the various parts of your book, probably beginning with an introduction, which should be only a few pages in length. And remember to give yourself deadlines to write a certain amount of material each day until your goal is reached. And that goal could be a certain number of pages, say within a week, or the completion of a chapter within a month's time. The ultimate goal, of course, is the completion of your entire book. Now, let's get on with our story for the week, which we will get to after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. We ended the story last time with Everett receiving a big cheer from the crowd at halftime of the school's first basketball game of the season. He was diagnosed with a fatal disease that prevented him from ever playing basketball again. After the game, everyone had heavy hearts. Everett faced the challenge of his life during the next few days. His mother was a big help as she cared for him as much as she could, as much as her work schedule would allow. This included monitoring Everett's condition with physicians at the Drury Hospital in Whiteville. An appointment had been made for Everett to see a physician to have further tests. When he arrived at the hospital the next day, he saw the specialist who would further examine him. After extensive tests during a two-day period, the lead physician in Everett's case informed his mother of the news that he had a condition called myopia, a degenerative muscle disorder that affects the spine and, in most cases, is terminal. In fact, the doctors gave Everett, at most, a year to survive. Upon hearing this news, Everett's mother was in disbelief. "What?" she cried. She got up the nerve to make a proclamation. She said, "The devil is a liar. I'm not going to give my baby up." A battle raged within her, accepting the news that the doctors had just given her about her son and her own unwavering faith that God would somehow bring her son through this situation. The doctors simply continued to confirm the diagnosis, despite her protests. While obviously devastated, she quickly became most concerned about Everett's comfort during the next several weeks and continued to pray for his recovery. She also understood that doctors are given to us to help the sick and, with God's help, can assist in the healing process. She realized that in the end, it would be up to Everett himself to believe in his own healing. Everett's healing already had been provided based on Scripture, if he only believed. And Everett did believe during this critical time. Knowing that his mother was a woman of faith, he said to her in no uncertain terms, "Mom, your prayers have provided a foundation for my recovery. I love you so much." This brought tears to Sarah's eyes and motivated her to pray for Everett even more. Everett remembered a Sunday school lesson about the man at the pool whom Jesus healed after being crippled for 38 years. The man felt sorry for himself, claiming that because of his condition, he could not get to the pool where he knew that he could be healed. But Jesus told him to get up and walk, and the man obeyed and was healed. Everett was not about to feel sorry for himself. He decided to do what he knew was right. Despite his infirmity, he was determined to rise up, take his bed, and walk, figuratively speaking, to consciously have faith that his healing would be manifested. Although the physical signs of his illness were still apparent, Everett believed that he would be healed of his condition. In addition to his mother's encouragement, he used the medication that was prescribed, hoping that it would contribute to his healing. Everett was made aware of his prognosis, but knew in his heart that he could beat this condition. His competitive instincts gained from playing football and basketball at Whiteville High helped him to focus on the goal of health. He also relied on what he had learned in Sunday school about going through adversities and saw his situation as an opportunity to express joy and to overcome his infirmity. Not to just be healed, but to gain healing with a purpose. And that purpose was to do his part in helping others. When Everett's Aunt Velma heard that he was seriously ill, somehow she placed aside the weak sentiment she had toward her sister Sarah and began to communicate with her more often. She displayed this change of heart by visiting Everett when he was recuperating in Drury Hospital in Whiteville. It was a complete surprise to him, and just the knowledge that his aunt finally had some sentiment toward him and his mother seemed to lift his spirits tremendously. As Velma reached out to her nephew and sister, Everett's healing process seemed to be progressing even more as he continued to follow doctor's orders with the treatment. In a certain way, his illness prompted a healing for his aunt as well. She finally came to realize the importance of her relationship with her sister and nephew and seemed to submit to the age-old proverb, and that is, placing the people who are closest to us is more important than any material thing the world can offer. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Everett's spirit was further lifted when one day he got the surprise of his life, even more so than the time when his aunt came by to see him. His high school football and basketball teams, including the coaches, players, and trainers, all came to visit him. What an awesome sight to see individuals that he was so close to during his time in high school athletic competition. Even the school's administration showed great concern for Everett as the principal and two of his teachers at the school came by to offer their support. These visits made a tremendous impression on Everett and were something that he would never forget. When those affiliated with the high school came to see Everett, he sat up and carried on with his teammates like old times. This certainly uplifted his spirits and seemed to promote the healing process. But in the days to come, Everett still had major challenges in his health that required him to apply his faith. He was willing to receive anything he could to remedy his condition and to give him a better outlook for his future. Every star football and basketball player in high school has a desire to be like their favorite professional player. Certainly, there were other sports teams at the high school, but these were the ones that had Everett's interests. And although he loved football, Everett's greatest desire was to meet two of the best basketball players on the planet, Larry Jones and a great player from the past in James Porter. While he would never become what these players developed into because of his illness, there was still a desire to meet these athletic idols. Fortunately, he was about to have that opportunity. The hospital was a part of the Fulfill a Dream Foundation, a special program that invited star professional athletes and other celebrities to come visit terminally ill patients. The most likely candidate in the hospital who had fit this category was Everett. Because some of the hospital staff were fans of Everett, and because they had inside information about what special programs the hospital was actively involved in, Everett quite possibly would be able to fulfill his dream. At the top of Everett's list was meeting Larry, his current favorite professional athlete. So the hospital staff presented Everett with the opportunity to sign up for this program, this Fulfill a Dream Foundation. Well, Everett immediately agreed. He completed the necessary paperwork to contact his idol and arranged for Larry to visit him at the hospital. While still knowing about his terminal condition, Everett slept better that night than he had in a while. Despite the efforts of the hospital, the likelihood of its administration pulling this off was slim to none. This was because Everett's schedule had to coincide perfectly with the hospital's schedule of surgeries being performed. Nevertheless, Everett looked forward to even the small possibility of seeing Jones in a few weeks. With uplifted spirits, something very interesting occurred one night with Everett. He had a dream that his teammates won the state championship that season without him. And, even more interesting, in the dream, Everett was sitting in the stands, cheering his team on. It was the most satisfying feeling in the world. He was only dreaming, but it had the impact of Everett rethinking his wish to see the star professional player he admired the most. The next day, he contacted hospital personnel, and in a sudden turn of events, he decided to have his Fulfill a Dream Foundation request be redirected to allow the funds that would have been used to finance Larry's visit to the hospital to now be used to offer financial assistance to every member of both the football and basketball teams. That's right. Everett decided to give up his desire for the benefit of the team and, in many ways, the entire school. What a noble gesture by a star athlete. Upon hearing the news of his generosity, the school's principal was very pleased and excited about Everett's decision. He graciously received Everett's gift on behalf of the members of the football and basketball teams. But the principal still wanted to figure out a way to get Larry to Drury Hospital. If they could be successful in their plans, then the whole scenario would end up being a complete surprise to Everett. They thought that Larry's visit would be even more satisfying without Everett's knowledge. In the next several weeks, the school's administration accepted Everett's idea of building a scholarship fund for all students playing football and basketball at the school, but did not forget about Everett's desire to see Larry. Everett had done what he thought was right by disregarding his own desire in order to help all the players on the football and basketball teams. It was an admirable gesture, but it did not alleviate Everett's desire to see his sports idol. Little did Everett know that the school's administration had started the process of bringing Larry to the hospital without his knowledge. We'll be right back to close the show. Stay with us. Welcome back. The generosity of Everett towards his teammates as well as the school was mind-blowing. How often does someone give up of themselves for the benefit of others? Of course, we as believers know Christ did that for us. Yes, he gave his life for every single one of us to live eternally in spirit. Well, that's good news because our makeup involves spirit as well as the physical body. And because that spirit part of us will never die, according to what Jesus himself said, if we believe, we have the opportunity of a lifetime. And that is having our spirit being eternally alive. Yes, just as Jesus rose and received his spiritual body, we too are destined for the same, if we believe. Well, in our story, Everett, in a sense, rose from his adversity. That is, he rose above the cares of this world and, as a result, was offered something that, in fact, would satisfy the flesh, that being his natural physical desire to meet his idol. By taking this action, that is, by giving up his desire for the sake of the team, he ended up accomplishing a lot for himself. That is to say, his decision made it possible for him to achieve his desire anyway, a chance to meet his idol. Stay tuned for that meeting. Well, so much for now. And remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more. More good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.